I'm Liz. I'm an alcoholic. I just pray that God starts speaking through me as fast as possible, so that I can just get through this really fast, and then it'll be over, and that's it. And hopefully someone gets something from it. My sobriety date is September 24th of 2017, I think. Yes, and I have a sponsor who took me through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and she has a sponsor who took her through the steps, and she has a sponsor. I sponsor other women, one man actually, he's in prison right now and walking through it like a boss, sober. He turned himself in when he was like a year sober, some of you know him, which is like really cool. I have a home group. It is the Next Door group. We meet at 10 p.m. Monday through Sunday through Thursday. Friday and Saturday is at 11. Home group's important to me because, I don't know, my sponsor told me so. It's like literally the only thing that's coming to my mind right now. So like I just do that. I show up to the business meetings and that's just what I do. I want to say thank you to everyone who came here to support me, who I asked. I'm going to really try not to like cry the entire time tonight because I also am going through a lot of shit. But I can't even look at Shani right now because I will cry. But I'm like really grateful to have a relationship with somebody who just like gets me and shows up for me in the same way that I can't even believe that I show up for them, because like I am not that person. Like I am not wired to be useful or helpful to anybody. Like to my core as an alcoholic, I am selfish and I am self-centered and I only give a shit about me, what I'm gonna get out of a situation, what you're thinking of me, self-centered fear, all of that. And so like for someone to say that about me, it's just like, okay, like God's real, sorry if you don't believe it, but like, I don't know, like, that's like just proof to me right there. I got, let me try again. I was born in New York, Long Island. I grew up there. I did have a very traumatic childhood. I say these things to say that it does not make me an alcoholic. I say these things so that other people who have maybe been through some of them know that they can get sober regardless of that. Because I blamed my drinking on these things for a very long time. Emotional abuse from both of my parents. They got divorced. I started being molested when I was like 7 years old from my cousin until I was like 16. There's more shit. Like my grandpa died at the same time. I got diagnosed with this fucked up thing in my arm. Like everything was happening to me. Like literally it was, but like I needed a drink. Like I needed a drink when I was like seven. It was really painful just growing up. I don't know. When I found alcohol, I was like, I found God is really how I felt talking about God. Like I had a spiritual experience. It was the first time I didn't care about what anyone thought of me. I remember listening to a voicemail. I was at this party, and I listened to this voicemail of these girls that were like making fun of me about like doing things. Anyway, I remember this. I remember listening to it and not caring. And it was like, that was my spiritual experience. Like, because up until that point in my life, I cared so much about what everyone thought of me. I thought everyone was talking about me. It's just like, it's my alcoholism, right? And it solved that for me. And so like my mission is to just continue and do that for the rest of my life as long as I can. And so my mom was going back to school to become a nurse. There's no way I'm getting done in 10 minutes, FYI. sorry. I had like 25 minutes, right? Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, you're good. It's okay, you're good. Let me get back on, where was I? Someone help me. My mom was going to her, thank you. This is another thing that happens that I can't like think when I have a lot of things going on, so I apologize. So she was going to nursing school, and so she would have these like intern, whatever, she would do overnight shifts on the weekends. And so she would leave, I was like 14, and I'd throw parties at my house because it was like just perfect, like why not, you know? I destroyed her house. And I remember going to therapy. I've been in therapy since I was very young. And they wanted me to like sign this contract with my mom that said you won't drink for 30 days or like something like that. And I remember thinking, how am I going to survive? And like I'm 14, you know? It's crazy. So anyway, I've got to fast forward a little bit. So I moved to Florida when I'm 16. I got into some other stuff. Made me hit my bottom real quick. I was real miserable real fast. I barely went to school. I graduated somehow in the top 5% of my class. I really still don't know how that happened, but it did. And so I got sober the first time when I was 17, in the middle of my senior year of high school. A whole bunch of things led to that. I was like pretty miserable. My cousin was getting sober, and we were doing the same things, you know, like we were drinking the same and everything. So when he was going to treatment and got out and was going to a meeting, I was like, oh, like maybe I should go, you know? And like I went and I see these things on the wall. It was at the A Club in Spring Hill, and I remember thinking like, this is like, you guys are crazy. Like live and let live, like let go, let God, like easy does it. I'm like, this is great. Like, I'm really glad you guys have all of this. That's great. Like, I'm good though. And this girl's following me around asking me, did you get a sponsor yet? Did you get a sponsor yet? And I was like, I didn't know what it was, you know? Like, I thought she meant like someone to sponsor me, like, whatever, like sports, like when they pay people to like promote stuff. Which is not what it is. So if you're new and you don't know what a sponsor is literally somebody who has been through the 12 steps, which for me in a nutshell makes me just not want to kill myself or drink anymore. And then once I'm done, and then I take the next person through the steps. That's really all it is. Like my sponsor puts my hand in God's hand. So anyway, I don't know. It was a shit show. I got sober. Well, I didn't get sober. I got Baker acted is what happened. And then I was very offended when the officer was like smoking a cigarette. I'll never forget that, of course. Like he was smoking a cigarette on the way to take me to the Baker Act place. And it was Marlboro Menthol Lights, which is what I was smoking at the time. And I was so mad. Like how dare he? Because I asked him for a cigarette. Like how dare he not give me a cigarette? You know, just this like entitled little alcoholic who take away drugs and alcohol from me. I am a worse human if I don't have a sufficient substitute. Like I'm worse off, and like that's why I come here, so that I don't like the world's a better place. So anyway, I get Baker acted. My mom's like, the doctor was like, oh, she doesn't have mental health issues, she just has a drug problem, so we're gonna send her to rehab. Or my mom decided they were going to send me to rehab. Go to rehab 30 days. I get sober. I do all the things when I get out. I was like scared to death. Like I couldn't hold money in my hand because like I'm in the middle of my senior year of high school, and like I got homeschooled for the last semester. Somehow I only had a half a credit to finish. I don't know if this had to do with maybe moving from New York in 11th grade. So maybe like some, I don't know. It doesn't matter. So it was just really uncomfortable and scary, but I had this sponsor in another fellowship is where I got sober, because I really just thought I was a drug addict. And she like just vanished one day. It was really weird. And so this woman, Lori, who actually isn't even an alcoholic today, she, and it doesn't matter. I, so she was at one of these meetings, and I asked her to sponsor me, and she took me through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and, like, I had a fucking spiritual experience. We spent 3 days, and we got through the steps, and it was, like, a intense, the sky was bluer, like, spiritual experience. And, like, that was supposed to just keep me good for the next 4 years. So I stayed sober for 5.5 years off of that one experience that I had somehow. Not really. I still, God, I guess, you know, there's no explanation for how I stayed sober. Physically, I was sober, but, like, mentally, emotionally, I was not. I don't remember applying for USF, but one day my mom's like, you're going to school, you got accepted. I'm like, I don't remember applying. And so I was 17, going off to college, and, like, I stayed sober, and I will tell you, a big part of that was probably the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, because when I moved here, I found this meeting, which was 2 churches ago, and there was a bunch of young people, and just, we were going out to dinner all the time, and, like, having all this fun, and, like, I just stayed sober off of that for a while. And then I slowly started to, like, distance myself. I started doing, like, really inappropriate and manipulative things, particularly to make money, and from my experience, it's been like, okay, I can't, like, you know that phrase, like, I can't, like, live dirty and something like that. You know what I'm talking about? Jesus Christ. So, I can't. Like, I have a conscience when I'm sober. So if I'm not doing the right thing, I'm gonna feel bad about it. That's just what happens. And that's why I'm saying, like, I don't know how I stayed sober as long as I did. But I just was constantly, like, not okay. And I had such a big ego that I was so scared to tell anybody really what was going on. Like, I wouldn't open my mouth in a meeting and say I was struggling, because I would still go here and there. Like, if someone, yeah, I had a sponsor by name, you know, like, wasn't really sponsored. Just kind of, like, did whatever I wanted. And it was kind of like, my sponsor talks about this, like, I'll show you what I can do physically sober and, like, not get spiritual consequences from, or, like, not have to drink over this. Like, I'll show you, you know? And, like, eventually what happened was life. So, like, pain. Something happened. The boyfriend that I was with broke up with me. I broke up with him. I don't remember. It was, like, a shit show. And this person was, like, my higher power. Like, they were my end-all be-all. I had made them just the center of my universe, along with money. Those two things were, like, the center of my universe. And so, like, this thing's, like, ripped out from me because he relapsed. And I was just like, this is not going to work because, like, I'm sober. And I was in so much pain that I needed relief. Like, I just needed relief. I prayed to God. Didn't feel anything because that's a relationship. I was not working on that relationship. It was like, nothing was there. I was in so much pain. I thought it would be a good idea to start dating this coke dealer. So I was at this guy's house. He wasn't home. I told him, go, I'm gonna clean the house. He had a bunch of, like, little blunts sitting around. And so I, like, picked it up and put it down, like, probably, like, 15 times. At 5.5 years sober. And smoked it, eventually. And from that point on, I had convinced myself that I had mental health issues only. I was a drug addict. I was not really an alcoholic. If I just go to therapy and deal with all of this stuff that's really going on with me, I'll be fine. So, like, I started drinking, and, like, it was not long before I blew through, like, 30 grand, like, maybe, like, a month or two, like, not even kidding, and I wasn't even doing stuff that cost that much money yet, you know, like, it was crazy, and just off to the races. But, like, my whole attitude was, like, if you felt like me, you would be doing this, too. If you had my life, you'd be doing this, too. And just insanity. So I thought it was a really good idea to start living out of hotels because obviously I wasn't going to live with my mother anymore because I can't do what I want to do when I want to do it. And like that's where my life ended up, you know? Like that made more sense to me than to get an apartment because like obviously I don't have to sign a contract, no lease, like all this stuff, you know? And so like I don't know. It just got so dark so fast. I started getting arrested. The first time I got arrested, I did what I did the first time the cops showed up to my mom's house when I was 17. I was like, I'm going to kill myself. Da, 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 da. And like I was like, okay, they're going to just Baker Act me. This is fine. They sent me to jail. And I was like very offended by that. They took my glasses. I got LASIK a few years ago. That's why there's none there, in case you were wondering. So... yeah, it was just like, and it was like one thing after the other. Like it was November of 2015, first time I got arrested. So I relapsed in the summer of 2015. My first arrest was November of 2015. My second arrest was the like really big one was like a year later, November of 2016. I got PTI the first time, which is pretrial intervention, very simple, the easiest thing you could do, they wipe it off your record. Couldn't do that, couldn't last a month. I peed dirty. I just couldn't stay sober. And really didn't want to. Like it was just a big joke to me, you know? And after I got arrested the second time, it was like, I tried to bring some stuff in with me to jail, they found it, and that's like a really bad charge. And like, you go to prison for just that one alone. And so that happened, they put them all together, and then I violated probation. Well, I got put on probation, which was... really a blessing, right? Like, I was talking to my sponsor about it last night. Like, this guy could have sent me to prison a bunch of times, and it's like, why didn't he? And then we were talking about, like, probably money, because they make more money, like, putting people on probation, which is fine for me, or it was. Anyway, so I violated probation because I couldn't stay sober. And then I violated again. And by this point in my life, I was living at my grandmother's house because I could no longer afford to stay in these hotels. And when I say hotel, like, I mean, it was like $40 a night, $50 a night. It wasn't like a hotel that you think of. Like, it was very, I don't know. But anyway, so I was staying at my grandmother's house. I was living in her master bedroom. And she was staying in the guest room because that's what I wanted her to do. And I was disgusting. Like, I was, it was just so dark for so long. And I remember, like, praying to God, and I was like, God, like, why can't I just want to get sober again? Because at this point, like, alcohol's not really giving me relief. Like, it kind of, like, temporarily, and then, like, the second I'm sober, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I just can't deal with life. I have all of this, like, constant shame and guilt, and like my credit was really good when I relapsed, like really freaking good. I mean, I took out a ton of credit cards, they were all maxed out. It was horrible. Thank you. So I maxed them all out, so I had all of this guilt and shame. I remember I would make these envelopes, like certain bills, like this is going to be for this, this is going to be for this. And it would not even last that night. The money would stay in there for maybe like, I don't know, not long at all, you know? I've tried every way to get sober. And like, trust me, if I could find any way besides AA, I would probably do that. Because this is fucking inconvenient and it's annoying and it's painful. A lot of times, but it's also like beautiful, and like I'm free today, and that's just like blows my mind. So like, that's why I'm here. But okay, I keep getting like way off track because I'm trying not to like cry. So it was really dark. I burned a lot of holes and a lot of things with a lot of cigarettes. And when I went into probation, oh Lord. So the lying, that was like a huge thing. Like honesty to me today is like so important. Like I have a gut now that I like try to listen to, you know? That kept me actually drunk for a little bit longer. I normally share this. Like, I had a thought when I was out. I threw trash out of my car. And I remember thinking, I can't do that if I was sober because I'd feel bad about it. Like, I literally remember thinking that. Like, any excuse I could get to, like, not have to, like, I'll do anything else, but don't make me take away, don't take this away. So, okay, all over the place here. So I go to probation. No, I don't go to probation. I was gonna go to probation. And then I like couldn't pee for the people that I was supposed to pee for. Long story short, I told my probation officer that I had cancer. And I got it extended for like 3 days. Like these are the lengths that I am willing to go to. Okay, I have cervical cancer. I was hysterically crying. I was like, he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, come in another day. Because I needed to, like, drink some stuff and try to get, like, clean. You know, I was just trying really hard. And I go in that day, and, like, I'll tell you, the night before I went in there, I was like, I drank this stuff. Like, it was great. Like, the whole plan. I went in, I peed dirty for, like, so many things. And he was like, but this was the first time that I finally, out of like the year and a half, whatever, that I had been out, that I was finally, I put my hands up. Like finally, I don't know what happened. It was a God moment. People talk about like when desperation and opportunity meet, like if it was like a minute before or after, I wouldn't have felt like this, but I was just like, this is what's going on. I need help. Look at me. Da, da, da. And it's funny because like 5 minutes later, I'm like, okay, so I can just take this one thing, I can detox myself, and then I'll just turn myself in. Let's not put this in as a, you know, like, don't put this in as a violation. I'll turn myself in. This is fine, because, like, I need to get better, but I know what I need to do. I'll just go to AA, and it'll be fine. And he's like, no, we're, the officer showed up. So, like, I go to jail again. I had to detox cold turkey, and I go in front of the judge, and I'm like, and I had been in front of this judge multiple times for the same things, high out of my mind, just insane, acting a fool, and so I was like, I need help. He put me in a jail diversion program. I went in the jail diversion program. I was so grateful for that. I will tell you, I was so grateful that I was given that because he really wanted to send me to prison. I was trying to go to Turning Point because my insurance covered it at the time. I was still under 26, so I was under my dad's insurance. And like, I know Turning Point is a lot nicer than a DOC state-run place, but they only approved 6 weeks. So the judge is like, no, 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 you're gonna go to this place for 6 months, DOC, whatever. And like, that's kind of a theme with like, I'll just, spoiler alert, I did not stay sober this time. As desperate as I was and as miserable as I did not stay sober. Because I had these ideas of how I thought things should go, how I thought things should be, what I thought that I needed, how you were wrong and I was right. And it did not take long for me to act like a lunatic in that place because, like I said, you take away alcohol from me and, like, I'm worse. I don't have my solution. Like, I'm so much worse. Unless I have something, and like there was no sufficient substitute there. I went to one meeting the 4.5 months I was there before I got kicked out. One meeting. And so I was crazy. And I would like go to church on Sundays, and like I'm not a church person, no offense. I just hate organized religion. I know I'm in a church right now. God loves me anyway, it's okay. And so I would just like dying for something spirit, like it's this experience, you know? And I'm nothing. So I get kicked out at 4.5 months for just speaking my mind, which I love to do. I was talking about how messed up the place was, how they're robbing us because they're making us sign up for food stamps. They're taking all of our money. They're doing this and that, which they were. But like, I, not my job to tell them that. They kicked me out. It took over a month for them to file the violation of probation because they were waiting for all my drug tests to come back and say something, and they were all clean because I was sober. So they had to make up a bunch of stuff of why they kicked me out. I say, I know what I need to do. I just need to go to AA. It'll be fine. I'll wait for the warrant to hit. I'm gonna go do this thing for like 2 days a week because I need money, because I need a license, and I need a good attorney to hire me, or to hire to take care of this warrant when it hits, and it'll all be fine. And so like there we go again with like my ideas and my plans. I ended up relapsing, and it was only for a week. And I'll tell you, I mean, I went to Alpha Club not sober, trying to like, it was at the place, I shared it last night, where I like wanted to stop. I wanted to want to be sober, and like I just had no hope left for myself. Like if you would have asked me like any amount of money, like no, like there's no way I'm gonna get sober again. It's just not possible for me. Like I had my chance, I ruined it, sorry, I'm a piece of shit. And that's really how I felt. And so I am losing my train of thought again, because this is what happens when I'm tired. Can someone help me again? I wanted to want to get sober. And where was I though? Yes, so I went to Alpha Club and I was trying, okay, yeah, the one I relapsed the last time. I had nowhere to go. I had nowhere to go at all. And I called my older brother, who like we don't really talk at all. And he's just like always the one that wants to like save somebody. So he's like, oh yeah, you know, like, all right, you can come stay on my couch and detox or whatever you gotta do for like a few days, and then you gotta figure it out. And but like you swear you're not doing anything? I'm like, no, you know, so like Lima, I had nowhere to go, you know? And like, I mean, that's not really true, because if I really wanted help, I could have asked anybody in the meeting that night. Anybody. I could have asked for help. Like in Alcoholics Anonymous, like people just show up, and it doesn't make any sense how they're there at that time or whatever, but like it just happens. It's been my experience. And so clearly I was not, I didn't think I could really get sober, you know, like I didn't want to, I didn't think I could. I stayed at my brother's house for a few hours or a few days, three days. And I woke up, and I had asked this woman who I had known since 2010 to sponsor me in between the time when I was waiting for the warrant to hit and the relapse, right? So I had asked her to sponsor me because her husband had drank when she was sober, and we got sober around the same time originally. And she stayed sober through that. And I was like, how? Like, how did you do that? And like, I wanted that, you know? Because like, when the person I was with, who was my world, relapsed, I said goodbye. And that's why I asked her to sponsor me. So like, it's funny, because these experiences that we have here, like as shitty as they are, like God gets the most mileage out of that stuff for me. Like, I never know why something I'm going through, why I'm going through it, but like, I'll continue the story. I had to turn myself into jail. It was the long and the short of it. I called my sponsor that day, third day at my brother's. I don't know what to do. I don't really want to get sober. I don't know what to do. She told me to pick a bridge. And I'll never forget that, because it was like, shit. Like, I'm out of options. You know, like, and until I am completely out of ideas of how I think that I can get sober on my own, as soon as every idea is smashed, then I'm finally at a place where I am willing to do anything. And so I just like, I didn't want to, but I called someone, they picked me up for a meeting, went to this meeting, and moved in the halfway house that I was like, I'm never going to halfway house. No one's giving me a fucking curfew. Like, no. Like, do you know who I, no. And thank God for that halfway house, dude. Like, I was there for a year and a half. Were we in that halfway house together? Me and Shani were in that halfway house together for like a second, but I don't really remember. I was probably like really consumed with myself, which is like what, you know, new sober looks like. Thank you for the timer. Okay, so, God, that distracts the fuck out of me. Sorry. I went to jail. Thanks. I turned myself in. I'm sure some of you have heard. It made me feel, I felt the closest that I ever felt to God when I went there. In my sponsorship family, for our third step, we go where we feel closest to God. And that's where we went to do my third step when I got out. The judge didn't send me to prison. Like, I don't know. I had got that really good attorney from like that month of me doing things to whatever. So I had this really good attorney, and he basically showed that I was sober. Thank God that week I was sober. I was not drug tested or anything. But like when the warrant hit, like he even asked like for me to just go for a hearing. The judge is like, no, like I want you in custody. Like we're not playing this game. So I was in there for like 2 months. Like, and I'll tell you, like I was completely okay with the fact that if I had to go to prison. Completely okay with it. In fact, I thought God was going to make me do that because I was trying to help women in there and like show them about, tell them about meetings and all this stuff. And I'm like, he's going to make me go there and do that. And the grace of God, I was so scared to get out of there. I was so freaking scared. I had to learn everything, like how to be a human, how to interact with you, how to buy clothes, how to go grocery shopping, all of these things that like, I don't know. And like the whole part about using my past to like help someone else, like this guy that I've been sponsoring for, I don't know what, maybe like 6 months or so, he had a bunch of charges and he celebrated a year sober. And then his attorney contacted him and was like, okay, like, this is it. This is the best deal we're going to get. Like, basically, you have to go to prison. And, like, this guy, like, walked through this, like, at court, like, dignity and grace and, like, God in his fucking pocket. Like, it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And, like, I know that's because of Alcoholics Anonymous. Like, I just know it. There's, like, no other thing that I've found, you know? I tried doing all the other stuff. I tried going to therapy. I've tried it all. So today, currently, I am in a lot of fear, and which is why I can't really think straight. But anyway, I stayed in the halfway house for like a year and a half. I moved out. I'm with this like amazing man who is like the most respectful guy that I've ever met in my life. My sponsor always says, if you don't believe in God, believe in God because the way he loves me or something like that. I don't know, I'm butchering it, but it's really funny when she says it. But I don't know, I do also, like Shani mentioned in her story, like I do seek outside help because yes, I do have other stuff too, but it's a fine line for me. Like I cannot allow my brain to convince me that that's the issue and that I'm not an alcoholic because number one, I have to know that. I have to have that step one knowledge. That knowledge is not going to keep me sober. I need God for that and the rest of the steps, but like I have to know that like what's wrong with me in order to like have my, be willing to like get the solution. And so, Jesus Christ, I'm so all over the place. I'm so sorry. Anyway, it's almost over, so just bear with me. Okay, I'm going to law school in the fall. I'm like gonna cry. I haven't like allowed myself to get excited yet. God, I sound horrible when I'm crying and talking. I haven't allowed myself to like get excited because like I really just still don't believe it. I've been working like really fucking hard in therapy and in my step work and in everything the last year to like really forgive myself for my relapse because like the first few years I was sober, I mean, it ate me alive, you know? And like, man, when I made amends to my grandmother, that was like the most beautiful thing, you know? Like she said to me, like, she's like, I never even saw that side of you, you know? And I'm like, what? And like today, stuff like that is like, if God forgives me, like, who am I not to forgive someone who harms me, you know? There's just so much. I could just go on for days, you know? I just can't believe it, because like I said, like, I'm not wired to be like giving and selfless and compassionate and honest. And like today, I am so grateful for that God gut that I was talking about before. You know, like, I dreaded that, like, having to deal with that. And like today, I love that because it like lets me know, like, ooh, that wasn't right. That was a little off. Go make it right right now. You know, and like that happened to me not long ago. I got blood work done. And I remember I said something to them like, no, like, I made an appointment this day, and like, but I really hadn't made the appointment, or something like that, or like it was a walk-in situation. I don't even remember the details, but it was like this tiny little white lie to the guy, and I don't remember the last time that had happened. And I when I went back the next time, because I have to get a lot of blood work a lot because I have health things, I said to him, like, hey man, like, last time, like, I lied, like, my bad. And he looked at me like I was fucking crazy. Like, normal people don't like do that stuff, you know? And like, I'm just really grateful that like I get to be here, I get this life, I get to walk through really shitty situations, like, and feel pain, but like I don't have to get drunk over it, you know? Like, that's the only thing that, like, if I do, like, I'm screwed, you know? Like, there's just no hope for me. But, like, the other thing about that is, like, I can't stay sober off of what I did yesterday. I really, really believed that you could for a long time, because, like, I did for a long time, but, like, it won't last. Any alcoholic that I've ever seen, it never lasts. And, like, today I am so grateful that I'm an alcoholic. Like, I have friends wherever the fuck I go. I'm going to Orlando. Guess what? I'm going to have a ton of friends there. They don't even know it yet. You know? They have no idea. And, like, I don't know. I just, like, I get to show up for my family. I'll say one more really cool thing that I just thought of. My sister, she's the one who let me stay with her, actually, when I got kicked out of the bridge, that program. And when I relapsed in her house with my niece and nephew there. And if you know me, you know I love my niece and nephew to death. And I felt a lot of guilt and shame for that for a long time too, I'll tell you. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. But at the end of, the beginning of June, my sister and Jack, her husband, are gonna go on like a vacation for their anniversary, and they're letting me and Michael, my boyfriend, like stay and watch the kids and like trust me with that, you know? It's just like fucking mind blowing. I'm like really emotional. I'm probably hormonal, actually. Sorry, TMI. That's definitely it. Thank you for listening to me. Goodbye.